Thank you. Well, why don't you put your hands here for your pastors, Pastors Ken and Eve. We love you guys. It's great to be back in Banning, or as I called it last time, Banningham. Hey, what a privilege it is to be here, and I really mean that. It's an honor, and if I lived in Banning, I'd come here. And we commend every one of you for making a great choice tonight to be in church. You could have been at Sizzler, but you're in church. I was in Sizzler at 6 o'clock. I got here early. Never been to Sizzler. Not bad. $12.95 all you can eat. And Sizzler. They told me I was the first Brit ever to walk in there. So I felt that was good. I nearly signed the wall or something. So my beautiful wife, Chantelle, couldn't be here tonight. She's with family. We've only got a few nights in the area, and so she's with family. But she sends her love, and the Normans, our family, 3 became 4 this year, and we've got a beautiful little baby boy, and 3 became 4, and 4 has become no more, and I'm going to go and see the doctor soon and get that sorted out, because 4's a lot. Well, we got my brother-in-law, Gabriel. Stand up, Gabriel. He was here last time with me. There he is. That's right. Still single, in case anyone was thinking. Yes, I'll say no more about that. Yeah, you know, this time, well, it was 18 months ago here, we were kind of on a journey, and really, God opened some doors up in the UK, and we the pastor of the church I grew up in Norwich, England, he had a turn for the worse when it comes to his health, and he was 70 years old, and he called me when we were in America, and he said, hey, we'd love you to take over the church, and that just seemed the right door to walk through at the time. So we were handed this church, and you know, beautiful facility, some land similar to what you guys have down the road, and believe one day we can build on that. And just amazing what God's done. And the thing about the city Norwich, most of you wouldn't have heard of the city we live in, but they did a census in 2013 across the UK, and Norwich was the number one most godless city. Less than 2% of people attend any kind of church or faith-based organization. And so who thinks, why not go there? Let's go to the worst place. And so we are literally in the hardest ground in the nation. We've got a heart for the nation, not just the city. So, will you pray for us? Yes. These guys, you know, the Brits are stubborn. That's why you guys are having July 4th. You're celebrating getting rid of us all. I'm getting out of here before. When is it, Saturday? I'm out of here. God save the Queen. I've got some resources with me, and I'll mention a little bit more at the end, but I've got they're USB sticks. They're pretty cool. And on there is there's about 12, 13 hours of teaching, brand new teaching I've been teaching in our church. And there's 12 messages, 15 hours of teaching. One of the things that I've been teaching our church is to take a city, you've got to love your city. And I've been teaching our church to fall in love with their city. You know, you can actually become blind to your city. So you can go to Banning and you can actually be blind to the deprivation. You can be blind to the beauty. You can be, because you're in it. And teaching our church to awaken again just to how beautiful their city is and to see the good in it. And I want to encourage you to, if you get hold of this, another one I'm taught, I do a teaching on there called I Love My City and Then I Love My Church. And I love what your pastor said. You fed nearly 100 people today. I love that. You know, church is not a building. The word church in the Greek is ecclesia, which means it's a movement, which means if this burnt down, this building burnt down, the church is alive. And the church is a movement, and the church has moved. And Pastor Ken was telling me about the stuff you've been doing with your new machine and saving lives. I just love that. And I do a whole teaching on what the church is. And I really believe the church needs to take its rightful place again in society. You know, the church used to run healthcare, used to run education. It used to run the political arena. The church needs to rise up again and teaching on that as well. And also do a whole series called Cheer Up. Too many moody Christians in the world. And it's a four-part series on cheering up. The Bible says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to encourage you. Cheer up. Cheer up. So we did a month on just being happy. We thought, if salt and light in the world, salt doesn't speak, does it? But it makes a whole load of difference on your French fries. A smile, happiness, it doesn't speak, but it makes a whole lot of difference in your world. And so get a hold of the USB, and I'm actually going to teach a message. We've been doing a series in church called Issues of the Heart. Issues of the Heart. Who's ever had heart surgery? Anyone ever had a heart surgery? Small, minor, major? A couple of you? Who knows heart surgery is a little bit different than getting your ingrown toenail pulled out? They're a little bit different, aren't they? One is kind of like your toe, you could lose a little bit of your toe. The other one is like life or death. And God has been speaking to me over the last few months about the heart. You've got to deal with the issues in your heart. I meet a lot of people who've grown old, but they've never grown up. You know why? Because they've never dealt with the issues in the heart. And did a whole series on guilt and anger and jealousy and greed and some of this stuff that we go through life carrying but we never deal with. I believe Christ, he wants to, make us whole. And so we're gonna have some heart surgery tonight. Do you mind? You ready for some heart surgery? I will just put a disclaimer in this. This won't be an easy message. Is that all right? Sometimes I'll come in and tickle your ears with some faith, and other times we'll challenge you. So this is going to be a challenging moment. It's some stuff I've had to work through recently, and I want to share it with you because I know it's going to help you. And God's going to open us up. He's going to get into some of the stuff in our hearts. Let me tell you, if there's ever some fruit in your life, there's always a root. Well, we want to go straight to the root, to the fruit, but actually God wants to deal with the root. Pull out that stuff in our life and deal with it. So should we pray? Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. What a privilege it is to be here in Banningham. We love this place. We love this city. We love what God is doing. We love our pastors here, Father. And we just thank you tonight that, Father, you want to do something in our lives. Father, we don't want another message. We don't need another message. We need a touch from Jesus. So touch us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know what I love about church? We don't have to do this. We get to. Yeah, right. You know, when you just receive the giving there. Do you know what? You don't have to give. You get to give. What a great, it's a turnaround, isn't it? Yeah. You don't have to serve in this church. You get to. This Sunday, you don't have to come. You get to come. And I love the fact that we get to be here tonight on a Wednesday night together. All right, that was a freebie. Can I just pass me a bottle of water down there, Ken? And I'm going to, there we go. Bottled at the source in Banning. Good. Go to three quick passages. And first of all, Luke chapter 2, then John chapter 5, and Matthew chapter 27. We're just going to read a couple of chunks of scripture. I'm going to get into this. Luke chapter 2. Joseph went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Does anyone know who that child was going to be? You are a smart bunch. Take after your pastor. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because, just zoom in on these few words, because there was no room in the inn. Just move forward a few years to John chapter 5. This was Jesus' first day in ministry. Then Jesus said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. The Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself. I don't know what your first day at work was, but I'm not sure if they threw stones at you. So that was his first day at work. So his kind of first day on earth, first day at work, And then I want to go to Matthew 27. This is just a few days before Jesus was crucified. It was the governor's custom, verse 15, at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release you to? Jesus, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of the self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with the innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do when Jesus is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They answered, "Crucify him." Three different scenarios in three different stages of Jesus' life: the first day of his life, the middle of his life, and the end of his life. And three things, the same thing happened to him. He was rejected. I want to talk tonight about rejection. Now, at this point, no one's shouting hallelujah. I'll tell you why, because whenever you talk about the word rejection, a name, a place, a moment, a person flashes before you, someone who's rejected you, someone who's hurt you. And throughout Jesus' life, he experienced human rejection. And rejection is a global epidemic in our world. And with the social media hype that's happening around the world, it's becoming even more prevalent. And when we hear this word, our minds go back to a time where we felt rejected. Just have a show of hands who's ever felt rejected. All right, I'm in the right place, speaking the right message. That's good. I remember the first time I experienced rejection. I was 14 years old. It was Valentine's Day. And I walked into my classroom at school, and there on the desk was a pink card with my name on it. And I thought this was the breakthrough. This was the moment. This is what I needed. And I rushed to open the card, and it had a little angel on the front pointing an arrow towards heaven, and opened the card, and it said these beautiful words: "Dear John, roses are red." Oh, they do it here too. That's so cool. "Roses are red, violets are blue, umbrellas get lost, and so should you." 14 years old, the arrow went straight in my heart. Who's ever been rejected in a relationship? Then I was a little bit like Jesus, my first day, well, trying to get a job. And I went to this little unknown American restaurant. They're trying to do something in England, I don't know what they're up to, called McDonald's. And went for the interview, thought things had gone well, came home. A couple of days later, got a letter: rejected. Who gets rejected at Macca's? Rejected at girlfriend, rejected at McDonald's. But the good news was Burger King accepted me. 6 months later, I spent the next 12 months of my life making Whoppers. And who's ever been rejected on social media? They didn't like your photo. You went to bed with 100 followers on Instagram, and you woke up and there was 99. Somebody had the audacity in the middle of the night to unfollow you. They've even created an app now where you can find out who unfollows you. If you want to be really depressed, you should all download that. And who would download that app? But this is its reality: is rejection is a part of life. Jesus went through it. We go through it. You know, a key reason that many folks, and I haven't even asked your pastor this, but many folks will have left this church over the years: rejection. Rejection. People have already left. We're only 11 months old, and people have already left our church. Rejection. Felt rejection. Even happens in church. you've been coming here for 6 months, and Pastor Ken has shaken your hand for the last 6 weeks. It's become a regular thing. And last Sunday, he didn't shake your hand. Can you believe it? And you've sat in that same seat for 14 years. And this Sunday, you walked in and somebody had the audacity to sit in your seat. Your seat. You pay your tithes. They're not your tithes, they're God's tithes. But people leave church because they feel rejected. Rejection happens in every sphere of life. Marriage, family, social media, school, church. Paul talks to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. One of my favorite scriptures, it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Paul is saying to the Hebrews, and Paul is saying to us tonight, if he was here, he's saying this: we've got to deal with everything that's going to hold us back in this race for life. He describes life as a race. Now, I love to go for a run. Any runners here? Love to put my trainers on, just go for a run. And I've got a little stage prop here tonight. This is a dumbbell. This is an 80-pound dumbbell. I know it looks a lot lighter, but that's what my muscle will do to any weight. And this is 80 pounds, and I'm just flexing. But I love to go for a run. This is what I've found is if I went for a 3-mile run, maybe the first like 100 yards, I could pretty feel comfortable with this. But the longer the run goes, the race goes, this is going to slow me down. This is what I've found with rejection. When we pick up offense, when we pick up rejection and we don't get over stuff in our life, all we do is we pick up weight. And the longer we run with it, the heavier it gets. But here's the deal. This is the crazy thing. We can't see it. Who's ever lost their keys, lost their phone? And you say to your spouse or your friend, you say, I've been looking all over the house, and you're looking under the couch, and they're looking at you really strangely. And they're like, they're in your hand? You ever had that moment when you're looking for something, you're holding on to it? You know, you're getting old if that stuff's happening. Hey? But this is the thing. You know what? Rejection's like that. We get offended. We get hurt in church. Everyone in church can see it. Guess who can't? Us. It's a blind spot. And tonight, I really felt that this message was for someone, that tonight, God wants you to lay down the weight of rejection and leave it at the foot of the cross. And tonight, when you leave this place and go eat ice cream out there, you can look, put that weight down and pick that weight up. Quite literally. But you can be free. Jesus said, who the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Too many Christians are carrying around the weight of rejection from a previous marriage, from a previous church, from a previous relationship. And they go through life and they grow old, but they never grow up, simply because they never deal with an issue in their heart. That was the intro. It's pretty cool, isn't it? The rest is on the USB. You can pick it up outside. Pastor Ken! All right, so if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because one day you're going to need them. All right, you might not be dealing with any rejection right now, but the whole thing is we want to put tools in your hand. Okay, we're not here to tickle your ears. We're here to put tools in your hand. So one day when you're facing rejection, you think, you know what? I remember some crazy English guy who spoke on that, and these tools might just help me through. That's why we encourage you to resource yourself, okay? And so I want to encourage you to take notes tonight. We're talking about defeating rejection. So first of all, we're going to look at the why to rejection. Why does rejection hurt us so much? Who's ever been really hurt? I've been hurt by it. Not just, you know, really hurt by it. Why does it hurt? Well, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to rob, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and live life to the full. I think this: rejection destroys the very life which Christ came to give us. You know, God never designed you to be alone. He never designed you to feel rejected, abandoned. He never designed any of that. God is the God of love and acceptance, and he loves you just the way you are. And rejection is actually an antichrist spirit because it is completely opposite to his nature. Because he accepts you. That's why it hurts so much. What's the root of rejection? Where does it come from? Well, the root of rejection is simply this. It's misplaced identity. So whenever, you know, if you think about your parents, whose parents ever set high standards? Mine pretty much did. High standards, you know, grades at school and stuff. And that's great when you meet those standards. But the moment a hint of disapproval comes, and they expected you to win the, you know, the egg and spoon race at school, or they expected you to win the high jump, and you came second, what happens? You feel rejected. The teacher sets you grades, and you miss them by just a fraction, and you feel rejected. Friends, you know, they invite you to the party, and you can't keep everyone happy. There's three things happening on Friday night, and you feel rejected. Your boss, you miss your target this month, and you didn't get the promotion that you thought you deserved, and you feel rejected. We need to write this down. This is probably one of the most important things I'm going to say all night. Whenever we base our identity on somebody or something other than what God's word says about us, we are vulnerable to rejection. I'm going to say that again. I want you to grab hold of this. This is a game changer. Whenever you place your identity on somebody or something other than what God's word says about you, you are vulnerable to rejection. Okay, so we've talked about the why to rejection, the root of rejection. We're going to come on to the fun stuff, the good stuff in a minute. But finally, what is the fruit of rejection? What does it produce in our life? Well, unfortunately, rejection, as you know, only bears negative fruit. Would you all agree with that? There's only negative emotion, negative stuff that comes from it. I can see some of you have been through this. And the main fruit of rejection is isolation. With rejection, we've been hurt once and we think, you know what? I'm not going to go through that again. So what I'll do is just pull back. We get hurt in church. Somebody says something, somebody doesn't say something. Somebody invites us to something, someone doesn't invite us to something. We feel rejected. So what's our natural response? Pull back. Now, I want you to think about this. A predator normally only attacks a sheep on the edge of the flock. So this is what the enemy's tactic is. Someone offends you in church. You pull back. I'm going to sit somewhere else. I'm going to pull back from serving. I'm going to pull back from giving. And you pull back to the peripheral. You pull back to the edge. Where does the enemy attack the sheep? On the edge. Suddenly your health's under attack. Suddenly your finances are under attack. Suddenly your relationship. Suddenly hell breaks out in your life. Why? Because you've allowed the enemy, something so small, to come in, divide a wedge between you and someone else, between a family member, a partner. And what you do is you pull back. I'm not going. I'm not going to that church anymore. And you lose the covering of the sheep. You lose the covering of the protection of one another. Church, we need each other. We need one another. If we're going to take this city, we're going to need to stick together. Do not allow the enemy to come in and divide. Is this helping anyone? That's all the bad stuff. Let's go on to the good stuff. All right. We now know the why, the root, and the fruit. Let's talk about the solution. What is the solution to rejection? Well, despite what many people, many books, psychologists might tell you, there can only be a solution found in Christ to rejection. I wanted to give you three thoughts tonight on defeating rejection. The first thought is this, is number one, is you've got to accept that your identity is in Christ. We've kind of touched on this already. But rising above rejection is all about identity and where you base it and who you base it upon. If you overcome rejection, let me tell you, you're going to fly in this life. You're going to have wings. If you base your identity, as I've already said, on what your mother or your father says about you, the problem is when that hint of disapproval comes, you're going to feel rejected. Here's the good news. When we base our identity on what this book says about us, we will become rejection proof. What does God's word tell us about who we are? This is critical. What about when we've been rejected by our natural family? Has anyone ever been rejected by a natural family? Come on, let's just be honest. We're family, so we can be. I've been even this last 12 months went through some stuff. Here's some good news. You ready for this? 1 John 3 verse 1. Because of God's great love for us, we are adopted into his family. Psalm 27 verse 10. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So your natural dad might have forsaken you, your natural mum, your brother and your sister, but you've been adopted tonight in his family. He is your Abba Father. He will never reject you. You've got to accept your identity is in this book. What about when we look in the mirror? You ever looked in the mirror? Things were all in the wrong places. Not quite happy with the way things look. You can actually feel rejected just by looking in the mirror. You can. Do you know what the Bible says about you? Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. You know, next time you look in the mirror, God's looking straight back at you and he says, you're marvelous. I love you just the way you are. Everything, all the curves, the lot. I love you just the way you are. Get your identity from him. Don't get your identity from Hollywood, because you'll feel rejected. Don't get your identity from Sports Illustrated, because you'll feel rejected. Don't get your identity from the latest movie, because you will feel rejected. Don't stare around the gym and look at everyone else and say, you know what, I wish I... No, your identity is in him. When you find your identity in him, you become rejection proof. You know, in the Bible, John, who loves the book of John? It's lovely, isn't it? John, it says, John the disciple, many times, whom Jesus loved. Who'd ever seen that before? Everyone thinks John was the special one. He wasn't the special one. He wrote that about himself. He wrote it about himself. None of the other Gospels say John the Beloved. He just had an understanding of how his father saw him. Jesus doesn't have favorites. If he did, you're all his favorites tonight. John just had his identity was in Jesus. He was his beloved. And tonight you are his beloved. And he is yours. God thinks you're marvelous. What about when we sin and we mess up? You ever self-rejection? You ever been through that? Oh, if pastor knew what had happened to me and what I'd done this week. In fact, do you know what? It keeps you out of church sometimes. If he knew what I'd looked at. Oh, if he knew where I'd been. If he knew who I'd been with. I've got some good news tonight. This is what the Bible says about that. It says in Psalm 103, verse 12, our sins have been removed from us. As far as the east is from the west. 1 Corinthians 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. God does not judge you according to your past, your sin, your mistakes. He judges you through the lens of the cross, Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you are a believer in Jesus, you sit, you stand in his righteousness, not your righteousness. In his goodness, not your goodness. So you can walk boldly through those doors on Sunday morning, despite all the mistakes, despite those naughty words you said, despite whatever happened this week, you can walk confidently knowing that his grace abounds in your life. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your past, your present, and your future sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Get a revelation of his grace. Get a revelation of his grace. Well, John, that gives me a license to sin. No, the more you fall in love with Jesus, the less you'll want to sin. You don't even want to do that stuff. Start focusing on him. Start focusing your identity. Is this helping anyone tonight? Accept your identity is in him. What about when we feel unloved? Anyone ever felt unloved? Yeah? I think we all go through that from time to time. If you base your identity on what social media says about you, how many people liked your photo, how many people follow you on Twitter, if you base your identity on that, let me tell you, it's going to let you down. But 1 John 3 verse 1 from this great book says this: it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Not just love on you, lavish. Tonight, Jesus loves you. He loves you. There was a famous theologian, your pastor might know him, Karl Barth. Have you heard of that man? And he was lecturing at the University of Chicago a few years ago. Scholars and students and teachers from all over the nation gathered around at a press conference. And one of the scholars asked Dr. Barth, said, "What is the most profound truth that you've learned in your 50 plus years of studying the Bible?" And there was a great pause in the room. Can you imagine the expectation, the anticipation of these people thinking, wow, he's going to unravel some truth, some great mystery that we've never heard. And the room fell silent. And Dr. Barth, without hesitation, he said this. He said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." And they looked back and was like, simple. Tonight, he loves you. He loves you. Despite what's happened in your life, he loves you. Despite the sin that's happened, he loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love. Tonight, you walk in his love. You don't fall out of grace, you fall into it. Tonight, he loves you. Our little daughter, Miracle Joy, she had real struggles sleeping as a baby, still does, and 6 months into it, it was crazy. We're about to get a baby psychologist and all that. And I said, "Hey, just let me do one thing." And I downloaded that little kid song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." You know that one? I want to play that at the end. Is that possible, the worship team? That sounds really crazy. Do you know it? Yeah. Would that work? Or we can sing a cappella. Anyway, we're going to do that in a moment, but because I want you to get a fresh revelation of his love tonight. We don't have to complicate this thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's pretty much the gospel. So we played this little song from iTunes, because I realized that as good or a bad dad as I am, and as good as a bad parent you are, is I want to make sure that meet all my little kids' needs. And I know at some point in my kids' life, there's going to be a time when I'm going to let them down. Maybe I'm going to run late for their sports game the moment they score the goal. Maybe I'm going to forget a special moment, a card. There's going to be times that, because I'm human, I'm going to miss it. So when she goes to sleep at night, I want her identity. As much as Daddy tells him he loves you and he'll always be there, I want her identity to be in Abba Father, in her Heavenly Father, because that is where true acceptance is found. Tonight, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Turn to the person beside you and say, "He loves you. He loves you tonight." Feel his love. Feel his warmth. Your spouses, your friends, your family love, it comes with conditions. But the Father's love, it comes with no conditions. It's unconditional. Wow. Every one of the major religions of the world, you've got to earn God's attention. You've got to knock on so many doors. You've got to go to a pilgrimage. You've got to dress a certain way, do certain things. But I love what the Father did. He came down from heaven. Instead of us having to earn our way up to him, we went down. He came down and met us, and he wants to meet you exactly where you are. It's not good works tonight. It's nothing that you can do. It's everything that he has done. And all he requires is for you to open up your heart to his love. The third and final is, maybe just someone comes up on the keyboard and you can play that song softly if you know it. You've got to accept this. You've got to accept that rejection isn't failure. This is really key tonight. Accept that rejection isn't failure. You may have been rejected. Who's been rejected in that job? Come on, you've been knocked back. Where are you guys? You were knocked back and knocked back and knocked back. And some of you have been sitting here tonight saying, you know what? I'm isolating myself. I'm not even going to bother applying. And God is saying tonight, get up again. Get up again. Rejection is not failure. Rejection is a comma. It is not a full stop. Hey, I'm going to say that again because some of you weren't focused. As beautiful as this keyboard player is, just stay here because God wants to do something. Rejection is a comma in your life. It is not a full stop. It is not the end tonight. Maybe you've been rejected in that relationship. You've been knocked back. You've been knocked back. You've been knocked back. And you think, you know what? I'm going to isolate myself. I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm going to be single forever. And God is saying, dream again tonight. Dream again tonight. Believe again tonight. Come on. Where's some of you beautiful ladies? You're saying, you know what? I need to dream again in that area. I need to believe again. Come on. Doesn't matter whether you're 17 years old or 87 years old, but you're believing for a marriage partner. Come on. Lift your hand. Come on. Come on, you single guys. Have a little look around. You know, girls, women are like apples on trees. The best ones are at the top of the tree. Most men don't want to reach for the good ones because they're afraid of falling and getting hurt. Instead, they just get the rotten apples from the ground. That isn't a good, but easy. So the apples at the top, hang on. Some of you are going to, you need to hear this. So the apples at the top think something is wrong with them. When reality is, they're amazing. They just have to wait for the right man to come along, the one who's brave enough to climb all the way to the top of the tree. Come on, believe again tonight. You're a good apple. You're worth waiting for. You're prime. You've got to accept your identity is in him. Maybe you've been rejected in a university. You've been rejected in school. Get up again. Get up again tonight. You know, when you understand that rejection isn't failure, it gives you confidence to go again. And I pray tonight through the help of the Holy Spirit, that you're understanding that rejection is a setback, but it's actually a setback to set you up for a comeback. I don't have a slingshot here tonight, and I'm not very good with one anyway, so it's probably good I don't have it in my hand. If I had a slingshot and a ball bearing, I know one thing is this. The further that the ball bearing is pulled back in the slingshot, the further that ball bearing is going to travel forward. Right now, some of you are in the slingshot. God is pulling you back, and you've been through rejection and hurt and offense and stuff in your life, and God's saying, hey, just hang in there because I've got you in the claw of my hand. And you wait. I'm going to let you go, and you're going to soar. You're going to soar, and you're going to do things with your life you've never dreamt of. But hey, you just need to get over these few hurdles. Don't isolate yourself. Trust me in this season. I'm pulling you back. Get ready to fly, because the further I pull you back, every setback is a setup for a comeback. Come on, God's pulling some people back. Rejection is a part of your destiny. God is saying, hey, if you can get through this. And I've found this, that often out of our greatest rejection comes our greatest direction. Many of you heard Chantel, my wife's story. Beautiful story of stuff she went through, but how God took something that was such a mess and made a message from it. It's exactly what God wants to do with you. The third and final point tonight is this. You got to accept that love never fails. Love never fails. This is the hardest part of dealing with rejection. You've got to forgive those who've rejected you. You've got to love those who rejected you. You know, we're only halfway through. In fact, today is the beginning of the second half of 2015. I was thinking that, Pastor Ken, on the way up here. We're exactly halfway through 2015. God has got so much in store for you in the second half of this year. But don't carry this into the second half of this year. Don't carry this weight, this baggage. The year's too short. It's flying. Don't carry the hurt, resentment. Tonight, put it at the foot of the cross. Forgiveness doesn't make them right, but it makes you free. Sets you free. You can soar into the second half of this year and say, you know what? I don't understand why I went through this stuff, but I trust you, God. Don't understand why I've been through rejection after rejection in that job, but Father, I trust you. Because my identity is not in my employer. My identity is not even in my pastor, with all due respect. Because we're all going to let you down. I let people down in my congregation all the time because I'm human. And the closer you get to humanity, they will let you down. Put your identity in Him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your Father. I'm going to finish with this, but as Jesus went to the cross, after the crowd stuck Him up there, He's hanging between two thieves, two robbers. Some scholars say even murderers. He turns to the one, He says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." When Jesus went to the cross, He wasn't just carrying our sicknesses and diseases. He wasn't even just carrying our sin and our shame. That burden must have been heavy alone. But when He went to the cross, do you know what He was carrying, which I believe was heavier than all of that? He was carrying the fact that the crowd rejected Him. He'd healed them. He'd raised the dead. He'd fed them. He'd met their everyday needs. Yet the crowd chanted, "Barabbas! Barabbas! Save Barabbas!" And Jesus heard the noise of the crowd, the same crowd that were cheering Him just days before. And they put Him on the cross. And He hung there. And He died. And He was carrying the weight of rejection. And then He turns to the thief. When He's feeling rejection, He says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." His last act on this earth was to show acceptance. Wow. Feeling rejected, He showed acceptance.